The boys are in the starting stalls. Moods, Mytho, Rog, and the Rain Man. Stand by for a start for Moody on the mic.
Moody on the mic back for another week. The spring carnival is in full flight and the racing has been absolutely magnificent. More to come. I'm Roger Aldridge. Joining me, of course, Peter Moody, the resident Rain Man Tom Hackett, and Anthony Mithen from the beach at Noosa. But let's just address the elephant in the room. Moods, I'm not talking about you. I wish I win. Sent to the paddock. Didn't win a fucking race all preparation. And you've sent him to the paddock. I mean, really, has he earned a break?
He's earned more than you in the last week, Rog. So, well, I think. But the last week was his grand final, mate. And how often do we see him fall off a cliff after a grand final? So he's got a lot of racing ahead of him. So we'll just upwards and onwards. We've taken the conservative approach. By the time the races options for him in 3 weeks' time, he will have had half his spell. Or alternatively, he could have gone to Sydney for the Giga Kick in 2 weeks, which monetary-wise was the best race for him. But that was on a 14-day backup, and that's we know he just doesn't appreciate that.
Now, he made $2.9 million running second in the Everest on the weekend. That takes his career earnings to $10.72. He places ninth in the overall tally of Australian racehorse earnings. That's awesome. There was a lot of money on the table in the champion sprint, but I understand that you were scared of Imperatrice, and that's the real reason. Definitely.
Always been one to run and hide when we face defeat. Yeah. So, yeah.
Well, that's only because Imperatrice is the best horse in the universe.
Oh, we've jumped ships, have we, Anthony? Well, I was very pleased with Pounding's eighth in the Toorak Handicap last Saturday because, of course, he beat the best horse in the world home, Amelia's Jewel. So that puts him in the top echelon of horses, which I was really pleased with.
Amelia's Jewel won more races this prep than I wish I win did.
Did she win as much money, Roger?
No one did, Moods. No,
it's
actually,
about
sorry,
the money. Yeah. Think about it. Yeah. Think about it, Az.
Think about it, dude.
How good is he? I mean, we can talk about I Wish I Win. The horse that runs second is the first loser. But think about it. What a horse. I half pot him last week? I feel like I might have mentioned something.
Outside of Moods, I think we all sort of did half pot him a little bit. But once again, and I say it every year, and Moods has been a big advocate of this as well, Brisbane Winter Racing Carnival, Stradbroke season form, once again, stacking up in big races. It happens every single spring. You're better off sending your horses to Brisbane for a winter campaign than sitting in a cold paddock in Melbourne or Sydney. Once again, time after time, it delivers the Brisbane Winter Racing Carnival.
What were you going to say there, Peter?
No, I'm just interested to take Tom's opinion on board there because he's trained a few and set a few for the spring carnivals and I'm taking it on board and there's every chance I'm probably going to shift my 50-horse stable up to Brisbane next winter.
You had Fame running in a Queensland Derby this year, Peter, and he's now in a Caulfield Cup. You've used the Brisbane Winter Carnival as effectively as anybody.
I have, Rain Man, I have, and I don't disagree with you, but I don't think it's a matter of just going for the sake of going. But, they do perform well, but, plenty of horses that are spelled in Sydney and Melbourne are performing well also.
It was a big weekend for a few trainers last weekend. Joe Pride, obviously second and third in an Everest. He would have been a pretty heavy man, leaving Randwick on Saturday, truckload of cash. Mitch Friedman got his first Group 1 win, which was magnificent. But Better was on Sunday. He backed it up. He didn't have a few beers that night. He ran the Melbourne Marathon on Sunday in a time of 3:20, which isn't as quick as I've run one, but it's still a good effort nonetheless. But Moods, could you imagine the old school trainers like yourself who suck down 50 darts a day? What do you think of this young back Friedman who comes out and runs a marathon?
Well, I think he's a fucking idiot, to be quite honest. I congratulated him on his Group 1 win training performance at Caulfield this afternoon, and I quickly pointed out that more people die jogging around the tan at Melbourne Park or running marathons than do in the bar of the pub having a schooner and a bunger. So I just corrected him on that point, and let's hope he takes some of my advice on board. But terrific young bloke. Great to see him join the Group 1 Winners Club. Well deserved. and tremendous. And Bo Mertens, the pilot, Bo's first winner as well. And well done to him. I know Bo would have traded everything to have his father, Pete, there with him, who we lost this year. But tremendous to see that young man starting to fulfil his potential also. So two young fellas that will go a long way in the industry, Bo and Mitch.
I'd love to see your stats in being backed up with genuine facts about more people dying running than smoking gas and drinking piss. But we'll move on. Anyway, it's your podcast.
When Mitch said afterwards he was off to a marathon, I thought he was off for a pub crawl. Did he actually run a marathon? I thought he was in for, you know, an all-nighter and then some.
He ran the Melbourne Marathon, and so did Damien Lane. And Damien Lane did it in 2 hours 55, which is fairly come lightning, sub 3 hours. So Damien Lane is just as quick off a horse as he is
almost
on it, just about.
Almost as fast as Liberty Island, who is the new sensation of the turf. If you haven't caught up with Liberty Island, she is an absolute star. She won the Phillies Triple Crown in Japan. Talking of Damien Lane, that's the segue there, who's ridden a lot in Japan. Keep an eye out for her, punters. She could be anything, Rain Man. I see you nodding your head.
Yeah, she's out of Yankee Rose, so there is a strong Australian connection there. So she'll go to the Japan Cup now for a showdown with the world's best horse, Equinox. He doesn't race very often, Equinox, but when he does, he's very, very good. So no, that's one of the best races left anywhere in the world this year. That's going to be an outstanding Japan Cup.
And of course, the Ladbrokes Race Club, Peter Moody and Rosemont Stud, all combined, so this is a lovely little fit to race Dreamsicle, who is the half sister to Yankee Rose. So, Starcraft filly that is at the Spelling Paddock, ready to come back into work and have the touches of Peter Moody to try and get her into the winner's circle for the Ladbrokes Racing Club. So, if you haven't seen the Ladbrokes Racing Club, you haven't seen the promos, jump on the app and have a look. It's good fun and having a little bit of success at the moment, Rayman.
Yeah, going well, the Ladbrokes Racing Club. We had a runner in the Kosciuszko on Saturday, and looking to have runners in the big dance as well. So not as many horses on the ground at the moment, but a lot of younger horses are gearing towards a big autumn. So yeah, as Mitho said, all available in the Ladbrokes app. You sign up, a lot of benefits there as well.
Segueing back, Damien Lane, of course, will ride a Japanese horse in the Caulfield Cup this weekend. We'll get to that. Militarised, looking towards the Ladbrokes Cox Plate. Didn't win the Crawford Guineas as expected, but in many respects, it was a pretty good Cox Plate trial, Rain Man.
Yeah, and if you look back in recent history, the three-year-olds that have won the Ladbrokes Cox Plate in recent times have been those that haven't won the Caulfield Guineas. Obviously, Seamus Award famously went into the Cox Plate as a maiden, having finished third in the Caulfield Guineas. So You Think was unplaced in the Caulfield Guineas before he went on and won a Cox Plate. So I think it's good to have Militarise in the race. I think it's always good to have that three-year-old interest. And we had another horse put their name up as a potential Ladbrokes Cox Plate contender on Saturday as well, in the form of Fangirl, who was just outstanding in the King Charles, where she beat Mr. Brightside fair and square there. She's always been a very good horse, Fangirl, often the bridesmaid to Animo, but that was a career best performance. And a little bit of a query at 2,040 metres, but I think she does add another element to that Ladbrokes Cox Plate, basically replacing Amelia's Jewel as the potential leading mare's chance.
Yeah, and she'll have a gallop around the valley on Saturday morning to familiarise with it. Med Mellon will miss the Cox Plate. He's suspended because the paparazzi stuffed him up in the run. The photographer up there on a ladder near the finishing post, St. Griff, wandering all different directions, and old Benny got himself suspended, but he did get a call from Guineas, and I'm sure that'll ease his pain.
I thought he was a bit stiff, Moots, to cop time for that. I mean, the horse naturally shied. He was then on one rein going, you know, over the concluding stages. Horse had momentum, so you can't actually pull him up cold. To my naked eye and my untrained eye, I've never ridden a horse in my life, but it did look to me like there wasn't a lot that he could do about 500 kilos of horse flesh underneath him doing what it wanted to do.
No, I think stewards took exception to the fact that he didn't sort of cease riding. He pulled on the left rein to pull the horse's head in, but continued riding the horse quite strongly with the whip at the same time. Had he ceased riding and just hands and heels and tried to maneuver the horse back might have been the difference. But I haven't had a view of it either. Quite often horses shy a variety of things, winning posts and everything quite abruptly, but it didn't change the result of the race. That was the most important thing. But unfortunately for Ben, he'll miss Cox Plate, but be back very quickly and bounce back, I'm sure.
I've got a quick question for you, Moods, as a trainer and you as an owner, Mytho. If you had V8, would you have thrown in a protest? I'm not saying it would have been upheld, but I was surprised that they didn't at least have a crack.
No. I would have said no. Well, it's not going to be reversed. We weren't going. V8 wasn't going as well as the winner. Yes, there was interference caused, but there was no way he was pulling that ground off to the line. And I think Blind Freddy could see that, which was part of my reason why I thought Ben perhaps, was a bit hardly done by. He realised he wasn't putting anyone in danger. He was guiding the horse over the line on one rein, trying to pull it back so it didn't do any more damage. I thought he was a bit stiff, but anyway, yeah. He will ride Gold Trip, though, in the Caulfield Cup. Did you mention that, Rog, while I was vaguing out? You might have.
No, we didn't. We'll get to that shortly. In fact, we're going to take a break and we're going to be back and we're going to discuss some key races for the weekend.
With the Ladbrokes Cox Plate Carnival fast approaching and the most anticipated Ladbrokes Friday Night Lights season yet, it's time to become a Moonee Valley Racing Club member. Unlock a world of benefits, including a free drink and race book at every race meeting, access to the members' reserve, a new race for awards program, and more. With prices starting from just $195, it's the best value racing membership in Australia. Get closer to the action. Become a Moonee Valley Racing Club member today. Join now at thevalley.com.au.
We're going to kick things off with the McCaffey Sprint. It is race 6 on the program at Caulfield, and Rayman, it signals the return of Lofty Strike, but he does not head the market.
A bit of a surprise to me here, Rog, that Spacewalk is the favourite, $2.70 with Ladbrokes at the moment. Lofty Strike on the second line of betting at $3. General Bowes, $7.50. Midwest, friend of the show, there at $8. I think Spacewalk looks a bit of a false favourite here. I've long been an admirer of the horse, but this is a pretty handy race. And I thought he was good first up at Warwick Farm, but this is a big step up in quality. So he's a horse I'm happy to take on. I think Lofty Strike should be the favourite, but I think the value runner here is General Bow at $7.50. Just got a great record at Caulfield, got a great record over this short course. Two wins from three starts at this track and distance. A horse that does generally run well first up and just really never really runs a bad race, General Bow. So I'm happy to have something small on him at $7.50, taking on Spacewalk, who I'd be surprised if he ends up starting his favourite.
I'm with Lofty Strike simply because he is the class horse in the race, but he does have to give them sort of 6 kilos. He's got to give Spacewalk 6 kilos. I mean, it's a fair old weight swing and it's over 1,000 meters, which is probably a little bit short of his best trip at, 1100 or 1200. But I mean, Lofty Strike, this is a horse that's run second in a couple of group ones and he's clearly the best horse in the race. And if he can overcome that weight, which I think he's good enough to do so, then I'm happy to take it. And if he drifts out, he's out at $3 now. If he gets out 320, 330, then I'm stepping in.
We've got a couple of runners in this, Midwest, Speedy Midwest and Dual accepted for Sydney and this race. We'll bide our time over the next 24 hours before deciding which way to go. But Annabelle was sounding a bit bullish about running Dual in this race, given that it's come up short on numbers, reasonable on class. He's a horse with plenty of talent and hasn't been tried at Caulfield, interestingly, when he was with Friedman. So might suit him there. And he's drawn well, $11 on the Ladbrokes. So I could steer you into him to be right up there on speed with Midwest. And if it's an on-speed sort of track, don't discount those two. So I reckon Lofty Strike the horse to beat that.
Yeah, well, it comes down to who cares. I'm not sort of quite sure why someone selected this race, to be quite honest, to preview. But,
it's Lofty, group two,
Lofty Strike, the class horse.
Because you like Macca's, maybe? McDonald's? I don't know.
There you go. I'm not a coffee man, but, listen, McMuffins? For the sake of McMuffin.
How many would you eat in a sitting of those McMuffins?
No. That we've got a short, sharp show. Move on, Lofty Strike, class horse.
All right, well, let's go to a race that will interest you a little bit more, Peter, potentially. You might be pushing shit uphill, though, but let's go to race 2 on the program, the Ned's Classic, more traditionally known as the Norman Robinson. And we get to see the return of a horse who was very eye-catching last start, Rayman, and has come up very short in the market as these horses likely head toward a derby.
Yeah, Riff Rocket was a dominant winner of the Superimpose at Flemington last start, won by 5.5 lengths, and no one missed that win. He's now the $1.45 favourite with Ladbrokes. Gold Bullion on the second line of betting at $6. And Moods has got his Derby horse Gates in this field, currently $23 in the Ladbrokes market. I certainly won't be tipping against Riff Rocket. It was a very visually impressive win. I think it was one of the most impressive wins we've seen from a three-year-old so far this campaign. So I'm not going to be diving in at the $1.40, but I'm not going to be taking him on. He's certainly a horse to follow towards the Victoria Derby.
Yeah, look, you can't go against Riff Rocket unless you're potentially, you know, the trainer of one of the others. And I know Murphy is your Derby horse, Gates, but what we saw last start was breathtaking. He was a drifter in betting, but won like a champ. Exploded at the 1800. He should eat the 2000. They're going to have a big job beating Riff Rocket here.
Yeah, I tend to agree. My only hope being in the ownership and having bred Gates is that Riff Rocket might be a Flemington horse rather than a Caulfield horse. And the $1.45 is getting very short. So you are taking a little risk there, punters. He went down at Rose Hill first up in a race that he was favoured to perform in. So just a little word of caution. And it wasn't like he went to Flemington roll gold, rubber stamped, you know, even money should just bolt in, but that's what he did. So that's the price we get for Saturday. But no, I reckon Gates is in with a huge chance. Moods can tell you more about him, and I'll be backing him each way.
Yeah, Gates going very well. He's come nicely off a maiden win at Sandown, but seeing is believing. Riff Rocket looks superb. If he can back that form up, I suppose that's the key thing, and take it to Caulfield. He's certainly a deserved favourite. But listen, very interested to see how my horse Gates measures up. I think he's open to improvement going to 2,500 at Flemington in a few weeks' time. And, you know, interesting little race. But listen, hard to tip against Riff Rocket, but for sure include Gates in your multiples. Seeing him right in the mix wouldn't surprise me.
So 350 the place at the moment, Moods. As long as there's no scratchings at all. Yep.
Oh, I'll take that all day.
350 the drum. You're beautiful. That's what we wanted to hear. That's better than the $1.45 you get the winner there. Punters, now let's move to the Caulfield Cup. And this is a fascinating Caulfield Cup. The Melbourne Cup winner, the Turnbull Stakes winner, Gold Trip, has accepted. Now, we're going to do this before the barrier draw. So that might create a bit of a sausage for us. But we'll take us on our word that, you know, if one of our tips draws, you know, 18, then forgive us. Rayman, run us through. Have we got a market pre-draw, or do we not bother with that? Because it will shift a little bit.
Yeah, it definitely will shift, Rog. So the market hasn't changed much throughout the week. Solcombe is a favourite now that the final field's out. West Wind Blows, Gold Trip without a fight, all right up there in betting as well. I think you're bang on, Rog. This is one of the best Caulfield Cups we've seen in a while. I think last year's edition was a fairly weak one, but this year there's a lot of different angles here and a lot of different storylines, and it's a really interesting race to unpack. I do think Solcombe is the horse to beat. I think he's just had the perfect preparation for a Caulfield Cup. I thought he was that really good first up win. He ran well in the Underwood, ran well in the Turnbull Stakes, real flashing lights run there, and then he gets the drop in weight, step up to 2,400 metres, I think does suit. So he's the horse to beat for mine. Plenty of respect for Gold Trip as well. I think West Wind Blows had a really nice Caulfield Cup trial behind Gold Trip in the Turnbull Stakes as well. I think he'll be better for that run in the step up to 2,400 metres suits. I think Hugo Mal will be tough right on the speed there. The Gay Waterhouse and Adrian Bott stable absolutely flying at the moment. He's a very fit horse. I think the best roughie you must include in all your exotics is Spirit Ridge. Doesn't run a bad race, this horse, as tough as they come. Placed in the Wyon Cup, placed in the Newcastle Cup, placed in the Metropolitan. This is much tougher, but he's a very, very tough horse. Another one that will make his own luck on the speed. Like $41 is over the odds. But Solcombe, the horse to beat for mine.
I'll say it straight off. I don't think Gold Trip runs. I think we'll be on a good three come race time on Saturday, and I don't think they're going to run him on a good three if they do plan to go the Cox Plate as well, which I think is what the preference is. Hugh Bowman was supposed to ride Gold Trip. Now I see that Ben Mellon's been booked for him, so I'd say that Hugh didn't want to come down for one ride that probably wasn't going to happen. So I think Gold Trip will come out, and I agree. Solcombe is the horse I want to be with, building beautifully into this race. Like you said, Roman, flashing lights in the Underwood, and also the Turnbull. That's the flashing lights. That's the siren that goes with the flashing lights you heard there as Moots is foaming off. Underwood, Turnbull, great runs. He's well weighted. He'll suit the 2400 around Caulfield perfectly. If he's not stiffed at the draw, that's where I want to go. I do fear the Japanese horses when they come to our shores. So break up, I'm a little bit concerned about Hua Yamel and Akita Sushi would be my blowout in the first four, but Solcombe for me.
Yeah, I'm liking what you're saying, but I'm going the other way, Rog. Gold Trip, I think their intent is clear that they want to run and they want to try and win them all. And after his last start demolition job, I think, why wouldn't they? He might be the best horse in Australia. He's a beauty, and was just dominant last time. Seeing was believing, and I want to be with him. Obviously, if he runs, they'll protect the horse, but they'll prepare that track to make sure he runs, I reckon. So I'm with Gold Trip, and I'm with you on the Japanese stuff. Break up my danger. I'll be having something each way on break up too.
Well, I'm going to be the bravest man in the world and tip Jamie Spencer not to slaughter one in a feature race in Australia here and get West Wind Blows home. Jamie's a great rider at home on his home decks, but God, he's got lost terribly in Australia on a few occasions and covered ground and that. I dearly wish they had to put a local rider on West Wind Blows, but I just thought he might get the more tactical, better run than the likes of Gold Trip and Without a Fight, who I have great respect for around Caulfield, if the jockey does take advantage of it, if he does draw a barrier. And if my auntie had balls, she'd be my uncle. So there's a lot of ifs there. So I think the safe way to go is probably Solcombe each way. But West Wind Blows, I think, is the knockout. Not taking away from Gold Trip, his last start win was phenomenal. All Without a Fight, I thought he was good last start too. I just wonder whether the dynamics of Caulfield will suit the top two. My horse, Fame, he needs to lift. Second to Kovalika, he's only run at 2,400 metres. If Kovalika was in this race, I would suggest that he would be right at the pointy end of the market. So I would imagine he's probably 100 to 1 shot, and you could throw him in your first four. You would do something sillier if he draws a barrier, but would need to improve significantly.
Experience the best 24 hours of racing action and entertainment at the legendary Ladbrokes Cox Plate Carnival. It's spring after dark on Ladbrokes Cox Plate Eve with a night of fun under lights headlined by the Ladbrokes Moonee Valley Gold Cup. Plus, ARIO award-winning DJ Will Sparks will keep the party going after the races. Then Saturday, it's a massive day of Group 1 racing headlined by Australia's best race, the Ladbrokes Cox Plate. Friday 27th and Saturday 28th of October. Tickets from just $30. Book now at coxplate.com.au.
Let's get to the best bets. Rain Man, take the new ball.
Yeah, it's a tough day, I thought, for a best bet. So I'm going with one at a little bit of value, and I'm interested in Moods' thoughts because he is the trainer of the horse. But Caulfield Race 7, number 7, Waltz on By. You're currently getting $7 in the Tristark Stakes, but I think it's a pretty open edition of the race. And I think Waltz on By has been tracking along nicely. I think it's two runs back. This preparation have been good. I think it's ready to peak third up. Probably the only query is it's never really run particularly well at Caulfield, but it's a horse that should suit Caulfield in my mind. So Waltz on By on top for me on a tough day for a best at the $7 with Ladbrokes.
Well, we're head-to-head, Rayman, because I'm also going in race 7, and I'm also betting around the favourite, and that is Saint Magique. I think Saint Magique first time 1400 is the risk, and I'm going with the horse who last start across the ditch was a Group 1 winner at this distance, and that is Skew Whiff. Was very flighty and got scratched what was supposed to be her first up run in Australia, but I think if she settles nicely, she won that Group 1 at 1400 in a field that included Legato, who ran third. She's also a two-time Group 1 runner-up. Yes, she's giving Saint Magique 3 kilos, but I think if she settles, behaves herself, which she didn't last time, then class would prevail. $6, as Moves would say, each way to nothing, but I'll take the win Skew with race 7.
Oh, we've got a big hand there at Caulfield on Saturday for the red colours. Looking forward to seeing Gates run with Wally Dalziel, and Moods. We've spoken about him. Also, Everlasting Kiss in the Ethereal Stakes. A daughter of Justify that is just an out-and-out stayer looking for this trip and will hopefully show her best and skip off into the Oaks. A couple of three-year-olds, Perilous Fighter and Treasure Way, can both run well in the Gothic Stakes. Looking forward to seeing what Moesha can do, which I think is our best. Haven't spoken to Peter about this, but I think it's the best in the red colours there on Saturday at Caulfield in the 1000 Guineas Prelude. She's very talented. She was unlucky at Sandown last start. She's drawn a bit sticky, but look, if they can run on, I'm assuming we'll go back from 13. If they're running on, she's got a bit of talent, and she'll enjoy the 1400 at Caulfield, I reckon. So Moesha, the Rosemont Ruffy at $11, you're getting from the generous crew at Ladbrokes.
I reckon you can follow the little boutique stable each way all day and you'll come away with money in your pocket at Caulfield on Saturday. We kick off with Gates in race two. We've mentioned him. I think he's each way to nothing in the eight. If the eight horses run in the Ned's Classic, I expect a big improvement for him. I think the best of mine ultimately is race three, number four, Autumn Angel. She's got the form lines behind Griff, the Caulfield Guineas winner. She was very strong through the line that night. Step up to 2,000, I think, suits ideal. And I reckon she can knock off the toppy and Tropical Squall out to 2,000 metres. What odds, Autumn Angel, Rain Man?
$4.80 at the moment, Moods.
Take it all day. Take it all day. Take it to the bank. And then we skip across to Moesha, race five, like Anthony just touched on. She was very unlucky in a good form race at Sandown. She will need luck from the draw. She'll go back, hope for a solid tempo. She will be very strong through the line. We'll just skip over the time-honoured McCafe sprint to the Tristark Stakes, where we've got two runners. Shuffle Dancer and Waltz on by. I can't talk you out of Waltz on by, Rain Man. I thought she was super last start. D-Lane got off and said, Barrier beat us. She's drawn the gate this time, there to run very well. Shuffle Dancer will also be a big improver out of the same race. Big Mare, taking a couple of runs to get fit. Just where she maps in the run is a little bit tricky. Nunthorpe in race eight, number 10, in great form. I think she maps to get a good run here. Buffalo River will roll forward and lead. And if she can sit probably at his girth or just off him, I know he's going to be hard to run down, but she's been racing extremely well. And I think she'll present very hard to beat. And we round it out with Fame in the Caulfield Cup. He's probably the roughest of ours. But I'm going there with an attitude where I reckon there'll be more behind him than in front of him on the line. But my best is race three, number four, Autumn Angel. Good luck, good punting. Let fast horses run fast.
In the McCafe sprint.
Ladbrokes.